So go with me to Hebrews chapter number 12 tonight.
Hebrews chapter number 12. Throughout this message tonight, we're going to be reading quite a bit of scripture. Some of these passages I would like for you to turn to. I'll try to give you time when we get there. There'll be others that I'll be quoting. But while you're in the midst of turning, you might find Matthew 24 and Matthew 25. It'll be later on in the message before we get there, but we're going to read a couple of large portions of that passage. And then we're going to read a couple of large portions of passages from the book of Revelations. And tonight, when we get through, we're going to end up on a very, very high note because we're going to read Revelations 21 and part of chapter number 22 where it talks about the new Jerusalem that's coming down. And I'm telling you, that's what is awaiting us. That's what we've got to look forward to. And when you read those passages, if you can't get excited and if you cannot leave encouraged tonight, then maybe you need to get saved. Amen? All right. Hebrews chapter number 12. And we'll begin reading with verse number 25. Remember, last week we looked at verse number 25. And here's what it says. Seeing that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Now here's where our text will be tonight. Whose voice then shook the earth. Now remember we talked about back in Exodus chapter number 19 when God came down on Mount Sinai in the Old Testament, and when he came down there was thunderings, there was lightnings, there was the voice of the trumpet, and when God spoke it shook. And so that's what the reference is to in verse number 26. But it says, but now, talking about in our time, he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signify the removing of those things that are shaken, and of things that are made, why? That those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace. Or that phrase, let us have grace, just means to be thankful, just to be grateful. Whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Let me ask you a question. How much value do you place on things that are eternal? In your lifetime, do you spend more time, more of your effort, and more of your resources on things that are eternal or things that are temporal? Now, for those that don't know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, it is just reasonable that they make a great investment in what we would call temporal things, things of this earth, because you know what? They don't have anything else to look forward to. But if you and I, as saved people, as people that are part of the kingdom of God tonight, the thing that we should value more than anything else is things of eternal things. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 18, here is what the Apostle Paul says, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. Everything that you can see tonight is not going to be here 100 years from now. Hey, it's going to fall down. It's going to rust. It's going to go away. But he says this, but the things which are not seen are eternal. When we pursue the Lord and when we serve the Lord, as Brother Chris talked about this morning, and we make God a priority in our life, what we are doing is that we are making eternal things a priority. 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 17, here is what it says, and the world passeth away. Hey, when was the last time you thought, hey, this world is passing away? But he goes on, he says, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Amen? Amen. I'm kind of getting excited, and you have to, I tell you what, if you'll feed that excitement a little bit, I'll even get more excited. Amen? Matthew chapter 6 talks about our treasures. Jesus was speaking on the Sermon on the Mount, and here's what he says in verse number 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth. Why? where moss and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. Hey, all of the things that we lay up here, it's going to go away. It is just temporal. But he goes on and he says, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Why? Where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. You see, if your life is about temporal things, you're going to give all of your energy, you're going to give almost all of your resources and all of your time to things of this world. But if you have an eternal focus and your eyes are upon heaven, my friends, it's going to change the way that you live your life here on this earth. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, some of my favorite songs, and they still are songs about heaven. Hey, I still love to sing, I'll Fly Away. It's going to be hard for me to say all of these songs without singing them, because you know what? I love these kinds of songs, and what a day that will be. Well, I tell you, don't you love that song? And well, when we sing that song, it's one of those, I tell you, there's a group of songs that we usually put together, and What a Day, and I'll Fly Away, and it's usually some of the best singing that we have in our church. You know what? Because people want to think about heaven. And remember the old song, In the Sweet By and By, and when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be, and dwelling in Beulah land, and this world is not my home, and where we'll never grow old, and sweet Beulah land, and where the roses never fade, just to name a few. I love to sing those songs, and even as a kid, man, I love to sing those songs because I got to think about heaven. Do you have more investments here? I remember growing up, and I used to hear older people say this: I've got a whole lot more in heaven than I have here. I have to be honest with you. When I was a young man, I couldn't fully comprehend that. But I comprehend it now. Because you know what? I have far more in heaven than I have here on this earth. I think about my grandparents, and I know you probably get tired of me talking about my grandmother, but that's okay. She was somebody very special in my life. She was godly. She was a wonderful woman. And I'm telling you, that's one of the most precious things that I have in heaven outside of Jesus is my grandmother. I cannot wait to get to see her once again. And you know what? I didn't understand it until about 3 years ago. But you know what? Now I've got both of my parents are in heaven. My dad just this year and my mom 3 years ago. Matter of fact, next Sunday will be the fourth year that I have lost my mother. And as I was on her grave on Friday, and I just sat there and just remembered all the good times that I had with my mom. And you know what? Even though her and I had kind of an adversarial relationship at times, I'm just telling you, I cannot wait to get to see my mom when I get to heaven. I've got a great investment in heaven. I think about all those little old ladies that taught Sunday school to me when I was in Central Baptist in Coleman, and then the years that I got to pastor there, and how we just cut up with one another. I agitated them, and they gave it back to me. I loved them. They loved me. I'm just telling you what. I cannot wait to get to heaven to see some of those. I think about the people that's been here since I've been here. I think about Lucille, that every time I look over there, I don't see her face anymore. And you know what? You and her and I used to just sit down and talk about things of the Bible and spiritual things and ministry, and you want to just bless my heart. And you know what? I miss her, but one of these days I'm going to see her. And I could go on and on and on, and I think about my pastor for all of my life as a child and even into my early adult, Brother Bigham. You know what? He invested so much in me. He taught me the Word of God. He preached the Word of God. And I want you to know, I just can't wait to get to heaven to see him. I've got a whole lot more up there than I do here. So it is easy for me to have an eternal perspective. This year I had a friend of mine by the name of Alan Hatch. Some of you know that name. He was an evangelist and a singer for a number of years. He liked to try to sing like Elvis. But I liked him. And I'll never forget, he would come to our church, and on those Sunday school times I would say, Alan, I just want you to sing during Sunday school. And I don't know why, but he could just bless me like nobody else could. Because many times on those Sunday school times, he would just sing about heaven. He was the one that I first heard the song "I Call It Home," written by Squires Parsons. And I can just remember sitting as I was thinking about this and writing it down. I just went back to that time where I would sit on that first pew and Alan up there singing those songs about heaven. And there would be times it would touch me in such a way that tears would begin to roll down my eyes as I was thinking about how glorious and how wonderful eternity is going to be. Every Wednesday for 10 years at 2 o'clock, I left my office. I went to see my shut-ins and I went to see the nursing home. I did that every Wednesday. And you know what? As a pastor, you think, well, I've got to go and I've got to encourage these folks. You know, they're shut in and they're going through pain and they're going through health crises and everything in their life is changing. And you know what I need to do? I need to go and be an encouragement to them. But over and over and over, I would walk into Mrs. Jones' little high-rise apartment there in Coleman, and she didn't have anything. I'm telling you, she had nothing. She lived on about a $400 a month Social Security check at that time, if it was even that much. But you know what? When you went in to see Miss Jones, you know what? She never wanted to talk about her aches and pains. She never wanted to talk about the changes that I was making in the church. She never wanted to talk about how she had been hurt in her life and how she had lived without anything. You know what? I wasn't in that little apartment very long before she wanted to start talking about Jesus and she wanted to start talking about heaven. And we would just sit there and visit about the things of God for a little while. And I just have to be honest with you. When I left, she encouraged me. I'd get in my car and go to the next one. And they would encourage me. They would lift me up. Because you know what? They wanted to talk about the things of eternity. When you go back to Hebrews chapter number 11. In Hebrews chapter number 11, you have this great chapter where he talks about all of these great men and women of great faith. The heroes of the faith. But what propelled them to go forward? If you look in verse number 13... He says this, "These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them," listen to me, "and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on this earth. For they say such things, declaring plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out of, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." You know what he's saying? The thing that motivated them to go forth, no matter what they were facing, was they had their eyes and they had their mind upon eternity. They had their mind and they had their eyes set upon heaven. When was the last time that you really just sat down and thanked God that he's prepared a place for you? When was the last time you sat down and had a conversation about eternity? You see, when the writer of Hebrews is closing his argument up here in verse 25 down through verse number 28, remember last week he says, hey, I want you to make sure that you listen to the Lord. It's imperative that you listen to the Lord. And if you refuse to listen to the Lord or to Jesus, shall we not escape if we turn away from him? And then now in verse number 26 down through verse number 28, I think he's going to talk about the temporal and the eternal thing. There's just two things that I want to point out. Number one is that heaven and earth is going to pass away. Heaven and earth is going to pass away. Notice verse number 26. "Whose voice then shook the earth, but now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven." You see, that is a verse taken from Haggai chapter 2 and verse number 6. We have that exact same verse. And the prophet was saying, you know what? There's coming a day when God is going to bring judgment. There is coming a day when there is going to be catastrophic judgment upon the face of the earth. I want you to go with me to Revelation chapter number 6. Revelation chapter number 6. Verse number 12. This is the sixth seal. The Bible says, "And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. And the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it was rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places." Think about that. Every mountain, every island was going to be, would be moved when this great earthquake that is going to take place early on in the tribulation period. He goes on in verse number 15, "And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man," notice what they did. "They hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is coming. Who shall be able to stand?" You see, they were so fearful about when this earthquake took place and God began to move upon the face of the earth that they thought, you know what? It's better if we die than to face what is going to take place. You see, I believe that that's part of the shaking that he's talking about back in Hebrews. He says, you know what? I'm going to shake the earth. And right here in this passage, he says, you know what? There's going to be a great earthquake, but that's not going to be the last one. Turn with me to Revelation chapter number 16. Revelation chapter number 16. And verse number 17. We are now in the vial judgments. And the Bible says, "And the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, and there was a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings, and there was a great earthquake." Now I want you to notice these next words. "Such as was not since men were upon the earth, so mighty an earthquake and so great." In chapter number 6, the earthquake that he talks about is a massive earthquake, but because it moves all the mountains and the islands. But according to verse number 18 of Revelation 16, this earthquake is going to be greater than that earthquake. Notice verse number 19. "And the great city," talking about Jerusalem, "was divided into three parts, and the cities of the nations fell, and great Babylon came in remembrance before God to give unto her the cup of the wine of the fierceness of his wrath, and every island fled away, and the mountains were not found. And there fell upon men a great hail out of heaven, every stone about the weight of a talent. And men blasphemed God because of the plague of the hail, for the plague thereof was exceedingly great." You see, this earth and the heavens are going to fall under the judgment of God. In 2 Peter, you don't have to turn there. In chapter 3, in verse number 7, it says, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." I want you to go with me now to Matthew 24. In Matthew 24, we know that Matthew 24 and 25 are end time passages. I believe the things that he's describing in these two chapters are things that will take place during the tribulation. But in verse number 1 of Matthew 24, the Bible says, "And Jesus went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, see ye not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And there shall be, and ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilence and earthquakes in divers places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows. In verse number 8, the ideal is a birth pains. You know, when I've never been pregnant before, but I do understand now, according to the news, that men can get pregnant. You have seen that? That is on the news. They are talking about men becoming pregnant. If you haven't, you maybe need to check up on it. But with all this transgendered stuff, they are saying men can get pregnant now. But anyway, the ideal here is that when a woman gets pregnant, through that pregnancy, she is going to have pain. She is going to have contractions. And the closer that she gets to birth, the contractions are going to increase and the pain is going to increase. Now, he's saying that there are certain things before the coming of the Lord is going to take place, before he brings judgment, there are certain things that's going to happen. And in verse number 7 is going to be kingdom, is going to come against kingdom. There's going to be famine. There's going to be pestilence. I'm telling you, in our world, we are seeing diseases gain traction every day. They're getting worse and worse. We have the coronavirus, and then we have the Delta virus. And I was watching something the other day and say they have a virus in China right now that will kill 80% of all people that it infects. So as time goes by, these things are going to become more prominent. And then he says earthquakes. But here's the thing, as we see these things, and as they increase in their severity, we know that the coming of the Lord is very close. You see, that's how come I can stand tonight and say, you know what? I believe that we are very near the coming of the Lord. You know why? Because as I look into the scriptures and as I read the scriptures and he says, hey, all of these things are going to take place and they're going to become more and more severe. When I see these things, then I know, hey, we've got to be very near the coming of the Lord. But I'm telling you, when he comes, this earth and the heavens are ultimately going to pass away. Everything that you put your life into is going to be gone. You go back to the, hold your finger there because we're going to come back to Matthew 25, but you go back to our text. And here is the second thing. He says, you know what? The heavens and the earth are going to pass away when he shakes it. But he says there's something that's not going to pass away. Notice in the last part of verse number 27. He says that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. He's saying, you know what? When this judgment comes, when this shaking comes, everything that's made, everything that's temporary, it's going to go away, but there is something that will remain. The kingdom of heaven. Right quickly, I want to give you four things, and I'm going to do this right quickly, that are eternal. The first thing that is going to remain is the Word of God. Psalms chapter 119 and verse number 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." Isaiah 40 and verse number 8, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth away, but the word of our God shall stand forever." 1 Peter 1 and verse number 25, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you." Hey, the book that you hold in your hand, it's forever. It is eternal. It doesn't make any difference what happens in this world. The Word of God is going to be forever. The Bible says that. The second thing is that you and I are going to live for all of eternity somewhere. In Matthew chapter number 25, Matthew 25, this is a judgment passage. And verse number 31, you're probably familiar with this passage, but I want you to notice what it says. "When the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on His left. And then shall the King say unto them on His right hand, Come ye blessed of My Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundations of the world. For I was hungered and you gave me meat. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in, naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw thee we a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw thee we a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, as much as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in, naked, and ye clothed me not, sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not unto one of the least of these, ye did it not unto me. Now notice this. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You know what that passage is saying? Everybody's going to live in eternity somewhere. It's either going to be in everlasting punishment, or it is going to be in everlasting life. Daniel chapter 12 and verse number 2 is a very interesting verse, because here's what it says: And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall wake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. The third thing is that your works are going to be eternal. What you do on this earth for the Lord Jesus Christ is going to stand for all of eternity. Revelations 14 and verse number 13, you don't have to turn there, but the Bible says, And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and here's the part, and their works do follow them. I won't take time to go to 1 Corinthians 3, but it's the judgment seat of Christ. All of us that are saved are going to stand at the judgment seat of Christ, and our works are going to be tried, and those that was not done with the right motivation, with the right attitude, the Bible says that those will be burned up as wood, hay, and stubble. But those that we have done with the right attitude and motivation to serve the Lord, they will come out as gold and silver and precious stones, and the Bible says that we will receive a reward for those. You know why it's important to serve the Lord now? Because one of these days we're standing before God. And either we will gain a reward or we'll lose a reward. Because you know what? Our works are eternal. And then the last one, the kingdom of God is eternal. You see, that's what Hebrews says. Wherefore, receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. I want you to go with me to Revelation 21 and I'm done. Because it talks about the new Jerusalem and the new earth. And I'm just telling you what, it ought to excite you, because this is what is awaiting us. Now this passage, the millennial has taken place. The last part of chapter number 20, we have the great white throne judgment that is taking place. Those whose name was not written in the Lamb's book of life have been cast into the lake of fire forever. And so now when we start chapter number 21, this is going into that very last phase of eternity. The Bible says, And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Remember what Hebrews said? The earth's going to pass away, and the heavens, everything that's made, it's going to pass away, and it's going to be replaced. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. Can you imagine dwelling in the presence of God? I'm telling you, that's exciting. Have you ever been praying, or have you ever just been in the Word of God and you just felt God come down? Have you ever been in a church service where it was different than any other church service you've been in because, you know what, God came down? Do you remember how wonderful and how glorious and how fantastical it was? Can you imagine spending all of eternity with God? That's what he said. God is going to be with men and he will dwell with them and they shall be his people and God himself shall be with them and be their gods. Here's a verse that we quote really too early because notice verse number 4, it doesn't happen until the new heavens, and it says, and God shall wipe away all their tears from their eyes and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. For he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. You know what he's saying? You can count on it. What he's saying in this passage, you can write it down. It is going to happen whether you can see it, whether you can believe it, whether you think so or not. These words are faithful and true. Verse number 6, and he said unto me, it's done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of water of life freely. He that cometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Boy, we ought to say amen right there. But the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And we ought to say, oh my, there. And there came unto me one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and he talked with me, saying, come hither, and I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. He carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And had the wall great and high, and had 12 gates, and at the gates 12 angels, and the names written thereon, which are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. And on the east, 3 gates. On the north, 3 gates. On the south, 3 gates. And on the west, 3 gates. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. And he that talked with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof. And the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. And he measured the city with the reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof 144 and 4 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is, of the angel. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper. And the city was pure gold, like unto glass. We talk about the streets being pure gold, which they are going to be, and we're fixing to read that. But this passage said the city's going to be pure gold. Woo! I don't have to buy any more birthday presents or anniversary presents. Amen. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished. Now, you ladies are going to like this because you think them little old things that you have on your fingers, around your neck, is wonderful. Read this list right here. You're going to all of it. This is all of eternity here, and the foundations, 19 of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper. The second was sapphire. The third was chalcedon. The fourth an emerald. The fifth sardux. The sixth sardis. The seventh crystallite. The eighth beryl. The ninth topaz. The tenth chrysoprase. The 11th a jacinthine. And the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Now get this next phrase. Every several gate was of one pearl. Well, that's a big old oyster that's going to produce that, isn't it? One pearl. I mean, this big, massive gate. I don't know how big that gate is, but it's going to come from one pearl. And notice what it goes on, and it says, and the street of the city was pure gold, and it was transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. Can you imagine worshiping with God? Can you imagine hearing God? Can you imagine singing those great songs with God in your presence? It goes on, and the city had no need of sun. No more sunburn when you get to heaven. Neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor unto it. And the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there is no night there. And there shall bring the glory and honor of the nations unto it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Boy, I tell you what, as we get closer to the coming of the Lord, that means so much to me. I just look at our world and see so much evil and wickedness in our world. How wonderful it's going to be a place where there's none of that. Verse number 22, and we're just going to read five verses and then we'll be done. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manners of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there was no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun. For the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. I'm telling you what, if that doesn't encourage you tonight, if you can't leave tippy-toeing and singing when you get to the car, and maybe when you get in the bed tonight, maybe you just want to close your eyes and say, you know what, God, thank you. And when you wake up tomorrow and you turn on the TV and you start listening to all the dreadful news, just think about it this way. All that stuff's gone. Eternity is a sure thing. Let's pray. God, we love you tonight. And Lord, we're grateful. We're grateful for your promises. God, I cannot help but think about eternity and think about those that I love very much that had such an impact upon my life that are there waiting for me. But more than all of those things, you're there. It'll be a chance to worship at your feet. It'll be a chance to give back to you. When we receive those crowns, we can cast those crowns back to you. It'll be a time that we can see those scars in your hands and in your feet and in your side. God, I can't imagine how glorious and how wonderful it's going to be. God, tonight my desire is, if there's one here tonight that is discouraged, God, I pray that you would encourage their hearts and lift them up. God, I pray that you'd move amongst us tonight. Pray that you draw us closer to you. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. Would you stand, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed? Martha and Linda are going to play through a verse of Scripture. If God's spoken to you tonight, you come.